The resurrection changes everything. The risen Lord can reveal himself in the breaking of the bread, can suddenly join the disciples in locked upper rooms, and can say to Mary Magdalene, "Do not cling to me." In the days after the resurrection, Jesus had to prepare his followers for the time when he wouldn't be there with them in the same way as before. The disciples, as the body of Christ, would fulfill the great commission to go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. The account of the ascension given in our first reading doesn't mean that Jesus, at the end of his earthly sojourn, literally ascended in the way that it's described. Direct parallels with the description of the prophet Elijah's ascent into heaven from the second book of Kings suggests that St. Luke is simply completing his ongoing depiction of Jesus in terms of that persecuted prophet. Having escaped the clutches of his enemies by rising from the dead, Jesus now makes an Elijah-like ascent into heaven. In biblical language and imagery, the mode of departure from the earth signals that the one who had been crucified on the trumped-up charge of being a political messiah, a rebel against Rome, and who God raised from the dead in vindication of his true status, has now entered messianic glory at God's right hand. He has indeed been removed from human sight to commence a messianic reign in heaven, but this doesn't mean that Jesus is abandoning either his disciples or his saving mission in the world. On the contrary, through the Spirit, he will be present and active in a new way of being. The disciples, who had felt the power of the Spirit that was upon him during his earthly life, now are assured that as a result of his messianic enthronement, they will have an empowering clothing with that same Spirit that will help them and accompany them as they take his word and witness to the ends of the earth. Just before Jesus departs, the disciples voice a strong sense of, shall we say, unfinished business. Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus doesn't give a direct answer. The time of the kingdom's full arrival and the completion of the messianic program remain shrouded in the mystery of God. What the disciples must understand is that, empowered by the Spirit, they are to become instruments of its realization in the new era that lies ahead. Through their hands and feet and mouths, Jesus will continue his mission until the end of time. Today's second reading from Ephesians contemplates the ascension, or more strictly, the exaltation of Christ in relation to the unity of the church and the variety of gifts enjoyed by believers within that unity. The unity of our church reflects one faith, one baptism, one vocation, one hope, one Lord, one Spirit, one Father. This is not a static oneness, but rather a dynamic unity preserved and enhanced by the variety of gifts given to individual members. The gifts of the Spirit exercised in the various offices of the community are really ways in which individual members and the community as a whole have a share in Christ's cosmic victory. They exist to build up the community to the full stature of Christ, that is, to the fullness of humanity, modeled by the risen Lord in accordance with the original design of the Creator. The reading suggests that the struggle is over and the victory is won, but we all know all too well that this is far from the case. Putting it all into the past as though already achieved is Paul's way of projecting hope. The hostile forces may still be around, but the paschal victory of Jesus has dealt them a fatal blow. And we must remember that the ascension isn't simply something for Jesus. For Jesus, it's his departure physically from the world. But for us, it's a feast that celebrates the hope that evil and all that makes for dehumanization and death in our world will be destroyed, will not have the last word. Scholars believe that our gospel passage was added at the end of the second century to fill out Mark's original very sparse description of Jesus' risen life. It presents a kind of summary of the resurrection accounts of the other gospels, combining, appropriately for our feast, the Great Commission that concludes Matthew's gospel, along with Mark's account of the ascension, along with Luke's account of the ascension. The signs, including snake handling and drinking deadly poison without harm, are best explained as expressions of the triumph of the risen Jesus. After the resurrection, Jesus told Mary Magdalene, "Do not cling to me." In these days before Pentecost, it might be good for us to ask ourselves if we're holding on too much to the familiar and to the comforting. Are we simply clinging on, or are we open to the gifts of the Spirit that are coming to us this coming Pentecost? Please join me in the Apostles' Creed.